such a good time up at camp, man. It was a great experience. I know you guys had a good time here, that you could make it. Would you please stand with me as we read God's word? Ephesians chapter 6, famous chapter in Ephesians, verses 10 through 17. Very cool words from the Apostle Paul, and it says this. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And with your feet fitted with the readiness comes the gospel of peace. In addition to all these things, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of the living God. Father in heaven, we come before you this morning. It's good to be in your presence, Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, in this assembly of believers. God, it's good to just be here, to just take a break from the world and to sit at the feet of your council with the assembly of your children, with our brothers and with our sisters. Lord, we're grateful that we're not alone. You've not left us as orphans. Jesus, you've sent your Spirit into our lives. Thank you for the word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, God, that we have brothers and sisters in Jesus that care about us, and we care about them. We gather as a family today under the banner of Jesus. These things we are glad to do, and we give you great praise here this morning, Lord. So bless our time now, we ask in Jesus' name. And all those who love God would say, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Does anyone go to the Harvest Crusade this week? Has anyone had the opportunity to go to the Harvest Crusade? Is anyone planning on going tonight? Yeah, right? So I understand they had about 3,000 people accept Jesus Friday night. Another 3,000 people accepted Jesus last night. Very cool. More people are going to accept Christ tonight. I believe tonight is Stephen. No. Who's doing Chris Tomlin's tonight, guys? So if you are bored on a Sunday night, head over to Anaheim Stadium and hang out with Greg Laurie. Usually Sunday nights are kind of packed as well, but have some fun with that, and that'll be good. Hey, so last week, a big chunk of our church went away to family camp, and it was great, as you can see from the video. So our youth went up there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then a big chunk of the church went up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It was an awesome experience. Our students had an absolute blast. Probably one of we had seminars and we had a great speak-in, killer worship, lots of fun. But the best part was Saturday night. Saturday night we had a bonfire. And we were out underneath the stars, and there was a meteor shower that God sent. And actually, quite a few of our students afterwards went out to the tennis courts and stayed up and just watched the meteor shower, which was pretty cool. As we were at that bonfire, our students, we would sing some song of some praise, and then people would give a testimony and share, hey, what's been Jesus been speaking to you this weekend? And our students would share, the adults would share, we'd sing some more worship and praise, and then more people would share. Some of our students were in tears, they were crying, just sharing about things that God was teaching them. It was a holy place. And actually at the end of that evening, some adult family members from our church accepted Jesus up at family camp, which was awesome. You know what? I want to say something to you as a church, because a year ago this time, Pastor Danny was our youth pastor, and now we have Pastor David, and David has married a beautiful lady, Lauren, and it was so great for me as the senior pastor of this church to go up there. I'm happy to report that our youth group is healthy in the transition that went from one shepherd to another, that our students love David and Lauren. They are doing a great job. And I'm just grateful that God was in the transition of passing from one shepherd to the next. It was really, really cool. So praise God for all of that. Hey, so last Sunday, for those of you that were here, Pastor Graham gave a pretty great message on Joshua chapter 1, right? Verses like 8, right? Be strong and courageous. Pastor Graham, not bad. So, not, you know, he still got it in him, doesn't he? He just kind of brings it, and it's kind of cool. So, we actually, I told him that was a text that he had to teach on, because that same text that you guys heard here was the same one we got to hear Sunday morning at family camp. And it's Joshua 1:8. And I think it's so beautiful as we came out of Romans 8, which is all about this amazing chapter of who we are in Christ. And I love that verse. It says that we're more than conquerors in Christ. And so that Romans 8 passage, and then to roll right from that, you hear God speaking to Joshua, saying, be strong and courageous because I'm with you. And Joshua, we got some stuff that we need to do. And I need you to walk with me and be strong with me. And I'm going to be with you. Joshua, you and I together, we've got things to do. And I need you to suck it up. It's basically kind of, I mean, God, it's beautiful how God invites us to join him in what he's doing. And it's kind of beautiful when Jesus, the night before he died, he's with his disciples in John 15, and he says, I need you, I'm going to be with you, you be with me. He says, I need you to remain with me. I need you to stay with me. I need you to, disciples, we got things we need to do. I have to work through you to get some work done, and I need you to stay close to me. It's almost that same spirit as God with Joshua. Stay with me. Remain with me. We've got work to do. We've got work to do. See, you are more than a conqueror in Christ. You are more than a conqueror in Christ. It's a positional thing. It's funny, we were talking about this as pastors. Romans 8 primarily is a positional chapter. It's like, this is who you are in Christ. You are a conqueror in Jesus because Jesus conquered sin and death. You being wrapped, being baptized in Jesus, just by you being associated with him, you are a conqueror because he is a conqueror. As I always say, anybody that can come up out of the grave, you ought to listen to him because he knows more than you, right? Jesus is a conqueror. It was so funny. You know, my dear friend Cy Young is with the Lord. We did his memorial service here about 3 weeks ago. Cy, the last couple of years of his life, he was in hospice. He was in bad shape. But today, he's in glory. If you could see my brother Cy today, he's a conqueror because of Jesus. You being a conqueror in Christ, it's a positional thing. It's who you are being wrapped in him. But some people could say, if I'm more than a conqueror in Christ, then why do I need to be strong and courageous? Why do I still then need to be strong and courageous? Somebody might say, if I'm more than a conqueror in Christ, then why do I have to put on the armor of God? I thought I'm already a conqueror. Good question. Good question. Have you ever heard the old saying, you won the battle but lost the war? How many people have ever heard that saying before? Have you ever heard that saying? I say that a lot to people in post-marital counseling, which Pastor Frank hates. I just did a wedding last night for a brand new couple. They're hot off the press. They're one day married now. I like premarital counseling. I hate post-marital counseling because they're in there fighting with each other and doing all this stuff, and they should have done the stuff that they should have done before they got married, or they're just not doing what they're supposed to be. And I'll sit here and I'll say this quite a bit to the men and or the women. Well, I'm just going to win this. I'm like, you might win this battle, you're going to lose the war. With Jesus, it's the complete opposite. Jesus has won the war. But there's still individual battles that are still to be fought in our lives. Jesus has won the war, and all that's in Romans 8 is yours. He did that for you. It's all yours. There's no condemnation for those of you in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Spirit of the living God has come upon you at the moment that you accepted him into your life. You're under a whole new paradigm on how God works with you, not under the law of Moses, but under the law of liberty and the Holy Spirit. You've been adopted into his kingdom. You're children of God. All these beautiful things. Jesus has done all this for you. And in him, you're more than a conqueror. And it's a positional thing. Hey, guys, how many people in here are parents? Are parents? Raise your hand. Are you a parent? Hey, can your children do anything that can no longer make them your kid anymore? They're always going to be your kid. Amen? Same between you and God. You're his kid. He might not like you sometimes, or your behavior or something, right, parents? Is there times just going, I love my kid, I want to... Anyway, it's a positional thing. It's called positional sanctification. There's a beautiful word this morning. Theologians call this positional sanctification. We have been positionally sanctified in Jesus. But since we're still on this earth, God has work to do in your life and through your life. It says in Romans 8 that God's the will is to transform you in the image of his son, to be molded and conformed to the image of Jesus, which means this: the more you walk with Jesus, Jesus will influence your life. And the more you walk with Jesus, you will be more transformed into his image. And if you walk in with Jesus, you're going to become more loving, more kind, more gentle, and more strong, and more courageous, because Christ influences you. And this is what we call progressive sanctification, that we're progressing day by day. God has things he wants to do in your life. There's an old saying, you're not taking your career to heaven, you're taking your character. And that's what God wants, your character. And God is at work in your life today, but he's also working through you to reach other people. And this is also a part of the progressive sanctification. People, there's individual battles that you are still to fight upon this earth, some to win and maybe some to lose, depending on how you fight them with Jesus. Because of this progressive sanctification, you're supposed to put on your armor. Because if you don't, you're going to struggle. And that's what the Apostle Paul was talking about. The battles that you and I are in today are tough. And it's beautiful how the Apostle Paul, in a prison in Rome, begins writing the book of Ephesians. And in the sixth chapter, starting in verse 10, he begins speaking about weapons and warfare. The Apostle Paul understood what a Roman soldier looked like. The Apostle Paul was well acquainted with the Empire of Rome and a Roman soldier. And I think I have a picture of kind of a Roman soldier. The Apostle Paul, at one time, he rode with 200 Roman soldiers that basically came down and protected him from being killed in the temple in Jerusalem. Roman soldiers came down and saved the Apostle Paul. Roman soldiers, 200 of them, rode escort from Jerusalem down to Caesarea, which is the Roman city that's on the Mediterranean coast. The Apostle Paul was saved by Roman soldiers. The Apostle Paul was imprisoned by Roman soldiers. The Apostle Paul knows all about a Roman soldier and the weapons that these guys carried. In Ephesians 6, he uses this imagery of a Roman soldier to talk about our weapons of battle in this progressive sanctification that you and I are a part of each and every day. As we're all people on this journey and being molded in the image of Jesus and being used by Jesus. Paul lists six important pieces of Roman weaponry that we need to wear and to master as a child of God. And we're going to talk about four of these this week and two of them next week. So let me just read this again. Let me just let these scripture verses just sink in this morning. You ready? The Apostle Paul says this. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Be strong in what? In who? Be strong in the Lord and in whose mighty power? His. Is God stronger than you? Yes or no? Does he have more mighty power than you do? Go look at the media shower and you'll see that he's got it. Be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, his thoughts, his tactics. You've got an enemy that wants to tear you away. He can do nothing about your position in Christ, but he can do everything about your progressive growth in Christ. Does that make sense? He cannot take away your adoption as a child of God, but he can completely do his best to ruin you in having any form of effectiveness on this earth if you let him. Be mindful of the thoughts, the schemes, the tactics of the evil one. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. Stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, then stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, right? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Spiritual armor for victory. I want you to take notes this morning and notice this. The attitude of spiritual victory is courage. Courage is the attitude of spiritual victory. The stand part, people, in Ephesians 6 is the be strong and courageous in Joshua 1. How many times does Paul say to stand your ground, stand, stand? Do you know a Roman soldier, if a Roman soldier is going to run, there's no armor for the backside. You stand your ground. It's the attitude. You stand. In order for you to stand, it takes courage. Have you heard the rumor to be a follower of Jesus is not for cowards? Ask a student right now in a university or our own kids in their high school campuses or maybe you at work. Have you heard the rumor? To be a follower of Jesus, it's not for cowards. If you're going to stand up for Christ and make a difference in this world, you will stand. You got to stand. Paul says it four times. Stand, 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 stand. To be a follower of Jesus, it requires a warrior spirit. Do I hear an amen? Has anyone here just, if you just had an easy life following Jesus and you've required no courage whatsoever? Love to meet you. Love you to walk my shoes for a little bit. If you're going to be effective for Jesus, you've got to get some courage, intensity. You love first, you lead second, you always do both, right? Think about it. Think about it. When was the last time you had to be courageous for Jesus? When was the last time you had to take a stand? Do you remember? Can you remember the first time you ever had to be courageous for Christ? Do you remember the first time, maybe you are someone in here that you didn't grow up in the church, and you just came to faith in Jesus? How was your parents' reaction? How was your friend's reaction? For me, it wasn't very good. I remember when Jesus says, unless you hate your father and mother and wife and children and in your own life, you cannot be my disciple, which means to hold in relative disregard. That means Jesus says, I want to be the number one in your life. You ever heard that message, that sermon a few weeks ago? Jesus is to be the number one in your life. That's his requirement of being a disciple of his. And I remember when I first got saved and was walking with the Lord, there was people in my family that made fun of me. My own family made fun of me. I remember my friends I used to party with were like, Frankie's found religion. Let's get him drunk. Let's get him hammered again. Let's do drugs. And I just, from the moment I accepted Jesus, it required courage to stand. That was my experience. Has that been yours? It's been mine. When I was going to Saddleback College as a follower of Jesus, do you think that was a very Jesus-friendly place? Courage. It took me to stand my ground. Has that been your experience? It's the attitude that goes with the weaponry we're going to talk about. You got to stand. I'm going to do this. I don't know if you guys have ever met my friend Joe Miller. Joe Miller is a pretty special guy, and I love this guy big time. We have a lot of affinity. We have lots of things we love together. This man struggled with alcohol for years. About ruined his marriage, about ruined his career. One day, Joe said, I'm done. He had to take a stand, and you've been sober how long, brother? 27 years. 27 years. Joe runs our AA program on Tuesday nights here, 12 steps. Hey, you need God or you can't beat this. My brother Joe is a follower of Jesus. He's a strong and courageous brother, and I love hanging out with him. He fought the war, the inner demons that he had to deal with in his life. He couldn't do that if he didn't come to this place, and God was at work. Listen to his testimony. You stand your ground. God, you and me together, I've got to beat this. If I don't beat this, it's going to beat me. Do you understand? It's the attitude of a warrior. If you can't do that, you're not going to be effective. Satan's going to play you like a fiddle. You with me? The sequence of a soldier putting on his armor begins with a belt. A belt. Interesting how Paul probably watched Roman soldiers getting ready for battle. This belt. They would put on a belt tightly around the waist, and it gathered the short tunic and helped keep the breastplate in place. And from the belt hung the sword and its sheath. And here Paul defines the belt as our critical weapon, people of truth. Truth. Write this down. It's called the belt of truth. The truth. What truth? What truth is Paul talking about? He's talking about the truth of Jesus, the truth of the gospel. Paul says this in Ephesians 1:13. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed in this truth, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. The truth that Jesus is real. Jesus is who he says he is. And what Jesus has done for you on the cross, you wrap that around every day. What Jesus has done for you on the cross, you put this on every day. The truth that Jesus took all your sins, past, present, and future. He who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of God. The good news of the gospel of peace, that through Jesus you have peace with God, and through that you can get peace with yourselves. You put that on every day. It's the gospel of truth. And not only that, people. Ephesians 4:21, Paul says this, if indeed you have heard him, and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus. It's not just the truth of who Jesus is, but what Jesus says. Have you been taught by Jesus? There's this truth that comes from Jesus. And you wrap this belt of discipleship that I am a learner, I am a student, and he's the rabbi. And when he speaks truth. He's speaking truth into my life. For you and I in here as a Christian, the truth is our ally. Truth of who Christ is. When Jesus speaks into your life, he speaks truth. Have you heard the old saying, may you live your life that you pretend you have on Facebook? Have you ever heard that before? Are you living in truth? The truth? You should never be afraid of truth. Because you will know the truth, and the truth will do what to you?
Set you free.
Give me the truth. I want to walk in truth. Jesus brings light into darkness, and we want to live lives that are open, authentic, and transparent. Do I hear an amen? You cannot lie to God, so don't even try. You should be honest and open with him, and he will receive you in mercy, love, and grace. You walk in truth of who Christ is and who you are in him. That is the weapon that you begin Christianity with, right? Truth. Jesus says, I came to bear witness to the truth, not a truth, the truth. And we hold that and we wrap it tight around our waist, or it can get embarrassing if your pants fall off, amen? Isn't it embarrassing spiritually to be walking around with you just put on the belt of truth? Next piece of heavenly armor is called a breastplate. A breastplate. The breastplate was key. On a Roman soldier, the breastplate covered the body from the neck to the thighs. It protected all the major organs. It protected against a fatal blow. Man, if you get hit in this area, anyone go to the target range? They're teaching you to hit in the chest. Chest, head. Chest, head. Cops, that's what they're training to do. They're fatal blows. The breastplate is designed to protect you from a fatal hit. And write this down. It's called the breastplate of righteousness. 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 What does that mean? What righteousness is Paul talking about? This stands for the uprightness and integrity of character. Righteousness of clean living stemming from Christ's righteousness in our lives. As you hang out with Jesus, he's going to affect the way you live. And Jesus is going to cleanse you in this area. The righteousness, write this down. It stands for an uprightness of integrity of character. This flows from Christ's righteousness that's already in us. It's a positional thing that Christ's righteousness is my breastplate, but it's also a progressive sanctification thing. It's the righteousness that you need to put on each day. Do you understand? When I first got saved, my first prayer is that God would get rid of my potty mouth. If I had a buck for every time I said the F word, I'd be a millionaire. And I remember as a young follower of Jesus, I didn't like the things that was coming out of my mouth. And I remember praying, God, take this away. And I figured once I quit, I figured I had made it. And then I get married, have kids, and all of a sudden I realize I got an anger problem. And I remember Cindy and I just praying, God, take away my anger, this rage that I had. And I got that from my dad. Yay. I remember writing scriptures saying the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, and putting stickies all over and saying, God, this is progressive sanctification of God just putting my breastplate of righteousness in, because I have to grow in this. And the more I walk and grow in this, you stand. People, as we were preparing this message, we saw what was happening in Pennsylvania. What, 1,000 victims of sexual molestation from the Roman Catholic Church? 300 priests. You guys heard about that, right? And as I'm listening to this, I'm going, this is sad. Amen? What pieces of armor weren't these people wearing? They didn't have any truth wrapped on them at all, did they? Whatever righteousness they were pretending to have was a lie. Was a lie. And God will deal with all this. Don't let that happen to you. You walk in truth. And you walk in the breastplate of righteousness. Do I hear an amen? This is real Christianity. Authentic. You walk it. It's important. It's important, people. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. The gospel of peace. The Romans had interesting shoes. I've got a picture of pretty good example of what Roman shoes look like, Roman soldier shoes. Check those out. Interesting, right? The Jewish historian Josephus describes these Roman shoes as thickly studded with the heads of nails so as to ensure a good grip. To ensure a good grip. And you would need this in battle. Firm footing in battle is important. If you fell down, if some guy's trying to kill you with a sword and you slipped, do you think you got problems? Firm footing. These shoes are special, almost like baseball cleats or some kind of athletic cleats. And Paul uses these shoes as saying, these are the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shoes of the good news of the gospel. You and I walk with our shoes of the gospel of peace. We bring good news to the world. This is a part of what God's plan is, that you are God's mouthpiece. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And you walk with the sure footing of the gospel of peace as you engage into life. And you put these shoes on, and you proceed into the world with Jesus and the message of Jesus. And it's a sure footing, people. You're not going to slip with the gospel. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. You put on these shoes. You don't want to see a Christian slip and fall. Amen? Write these down. It's called the shoes of good news. The shoes of good news. These are the preparation of the gospel of peace. You are fitted with the gospel. You're just not talking about the good news of the gospel, but you're bringing the good news. It's your testimony of your life. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And lastly, this. Paul says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, breastplate of righteousness, it's in place. With your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. A Roman shield was special. And here's a cool picture of a Roman shield. A Roman shield was it's a pretty beautiful piece. It consisted of two layers of wood glued together, covered with linen and hide, and bound with iron. The Roman soldier often fought side by side with other soldiers, making a solid wall of their shields to defend one another. Isn't that beautiful? I want you to take a great look at that picture. The Roman soldiers locked their shields of faith with brothers and sisters to the right and to the left, and they would make this wall of faith through which they would back each other, watch over each other, defend each other. And they used this on the offense as well as the attack. And there was even this something that the Romans came up with, which we thought was kind of cool. They called it the turtle. Check this out. They even took their shields and they made like little mini tanks of themselves. And they would attack like fortresses, like a gate. The gates of hell will not prevail. You would attack a gate. They'd throw stuff down on you. And they would take their shields and they would work with each other. And they would create this little wall of armor all around them as they would roll in. Isn't that beautiful? Paul knew this. And as Paul speaks of this Roman shield, he likens it to the shield of faith. Write that down. The shield is our faith. For the believer, This protective shield is our shield of faith in Jesus. And you defend and advance with the shield of faith in front of you. And people, can I tell you this straight up? The shield of faith works better when you've got other brothers and sisters alongside you in the line of battle. Do I hear an amen? So many people think, oh, I don't need to go to church. Oh, I'm just a lone ranger for Jesus. I'm just me and the Lord. You're dead. You're dead. Satan get you to believe that, you're toast. We walk together as a church family. Amen. David was born. Mike was so excited that he was going to have his first child come into the world. And then he found out that his baby was a preemie. That baby, I think, was 10 weeks in the hospital. And he lived with, there. And his little guy, there's a picture of when Mike took off his wedding ring and stuck it and went all the way up to his son's, like, here. My friend Mike's faith. Why did God allow this? Why is this happening? Hello, Woodbridge Community Church. You know what this church did? We all took our shields and we locked alongside the Vincelles shield. And their shield was getting hit. And they were just struggling. And then he finds out that his son is deaf. And he can't hear. He cried. Mike cried. I can share that. You know what? His faith was a bit weak that day, that season of his life. And he was crying to a whole church. Laura was crying. And we locked shields with that family. And by the grace of God, God did a beautiful work and brought the hearing to David. He's a cute little kid. Our shield of faith. We lock shields. If you're going to be effective in the battles, you need to put on truth real tight. Don't walk in any lies and darkness and deception. You walk in truth. You need to put on the righteousness of Jesus, and then you just need to just take that Jesus and let him just take that breastplate of righteousness and just cover yourself, because it's a fatal. Your shoes are fitted, good, firm footing. Let's walk into this world with the good news of Jesus. And if you walk into this world, people, you're going to get hit. And that's why you got your shield. And you don't walk alone. You walk in a legion, in a community. Faith is lived in community. Amen? If you don't do these things, you might have won the war, but you're going to lose a lot of battles on this earth. And you're going to sit there and go, what the stink's happening to me? It's because you weren't the warrior that God has already created you to be. You take a stand. You take love and truth, and you wrap it together in Jesus, and you engage in life. And you do this. You're a conqueror who's still fighting. You're a conqueror who's still fighting. You're a conqueror that's conquering in Jesus. Do I hear an amen? Amen. This is good stuff, Ephesians chapter 6. Pastor Frank, if I'm a conqueror, then why do I need to be strong and courageous? If I'm already more than a conqueror in Christ, then why do I need to put on the armor of God? Good question. War and battles. The war has been won. There's individual battles. There's battles inside of you. Internal battles and external battles. You fight these with Christ. Do I hear an amen? I'm going to invite our worship team to come up. And as they do, we're going to end this service with a few songs of worship and praise. And here it is. If you're here today and you need someone to pray with you, if you're here today and you're like, my faith is weak, I'm getting hit, and I need someone just to pray alongside me. I need to lock my shield with someone else. You come up here and you let us pray for you at the close of this service. If you're here this week and you just found out some bad news and you need to take it to Christ, you're not alone. Maybe you're here this week and you have something that you just want to give God praise for, and you come up and let us pray for you. These next two songs, maybe you're the Vincels, and you're like, we need prayer. This church prays. The Bible says to come to the leaders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil, pray over you. If you have a sickness, maybe you're here today and you've got a sickness, a disease. Maybe God wants to heal that today for his glory. You seek the Lord. So I'm going to ask for my brother Mike and Pat to come up here, and my beautiful wife Cindy to come up here with me, Pastor Graham and BJ, I want you to come up, and we're going to pray up in the balcony. We've got the chows, and Pastor Vince is heading up there right now, and we're just going to do a worship set. I want you to let this scripture, these verses, just sink in, and if you're here today and you need some prayer, then you come forward. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We trust in you. We hope in you. We believe in you. You are real. You are here. You are truth. You are love. What you've done on the cross is real. We come to worship you this morning, Jesus. You are in this place. May your power be upon this place. Lord, touch your people. Restore your people. Renew your people. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear, Jesus. For your glory, we ask, in your most holy name, amen. Amen.